Hola a todos, este es Thunder Rosa y estás escuchando Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. This is Thunder Rosa and you're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
When they're not covering the sports world, they're talking about the world of professional wrestling.
It's Sports Guys Talking Wrestling.
Now with Justin Simmons, here's Stu Myrick.
Shane McMahon is once again going to the top of the Hell in a Cell.
Can the ref, get somebody get him off there.
And again, Kevin Owens is out here on the table. And
listen, he can't. Shane, think about tomorrow. Think about your family. Think about your health.
He's on top of the cell.
Shane.
Don't.
Shane. Shane, come on
no,
now.
No, 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 no.
Shane.
No. Damn it.
What the hell?
Where the hell did Kevin Owens go? Oh my God! Sami Zayn!
Sami Zayn just saved Kevin Owens!
And the WWE Universe had only one question. Why, Sami? Why? Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Stu Myrick. Justin the Smash Simmons, who is in anguish right now. All right, so we're going to pull back the curtain a tiny bit. For those of you who don't know, we actually pre-record this show. Although it airs on Wednesday nights on The Horn, by the way. Hello, Horn listeners. 104.9 AM 1260. We record this on Tuesday night. And right now, Justin Simmons, proud co-host of The Throw-In, Sunday mornings, 9 AM on The Horn, is watching.
Oh, come on. He's fine.
The World Cup qualifying match.
Because we're not in it.
Team USA and Trinidad and Tobago. Because the U.S. has not qualified for the 2018 World Cup in Russia yet. If they win tonight, they will, correct?
Yes, but we're down 2-1. And that's because we got that last goal just a little while ago here in the second half. So, like, I'm living and dying right now.
Right. And we've got an injured player for Trinidad and Tobago. So,
like, right now, as things stand, we're okay. We will qualify even with the loss. But it really would benefit to at least come away with a draw. We need
right.
at least a point
right.
in the overall scoring.
So, there you go. That's, you know, we, like I said, hey, we are sports guys talking wrestling. So, you know, you heard the clip at the top of the show, courtesy WWE Network, Hell in a Cell. Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn gets involved and wins.
Well, first off, what did you think of the match?
The match was what you would expect. It was good. I think it was expected.
Let me ask you this. Do you have, and I know because we're going to get into the whole Sami Zayn thing here, but
yes.
First off, credit to both guys because obviously to put your body through that
right.
and to live to tell about it the next day, that takes a lot of guts.
Especially so. Shane having already done this once against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 32.
Exactly. So two things there. One, isn't it starting to kind of get watered down because we're already used to seeing Shane do these things to the point where it's already expected? And two, don't you think it kind of belittles the other WWE superstars, like the full-time guys, to have a part-timer come on or, you know, not even a part-timer, maybe? Oh, no.
I get what you're saying. And, yeah, I think there is...
Like, why should he be able to go toe-to-toe with Kevin Owens, who was just Universal Champion, and give him a run for his money? Like, it kind of, you really have to suspend your disbelief, and it's just kind
right.
of like, it's kind of a slap in the face to, I think, the guys that are working their butts off, and women.
Right, I agree. And I think, now, I think they explain it away as, A, it's Hell in a Cell, so, you know, it's not a real wrestling match, and you've got the revenge factor because Kevin Owens attacked Vince. But I agree to a small extent with what you're saying. It kind of diminishes.
Because it's not like Goldberg. Because when Goldberg, even though past his prime, way past his prime, and don't get me wrong, Shane looks like he's in good shape too. But Goldberg had been a former world champion, yes. dominant world champion, right. right? And Shane, while he's had the acrobatics and the big falls, he was never seen as a legitimate threat to defeat a wrestler.
Right.
But now I kind of feel like,
because he's not a wrestler.
Exactly. But now I feel like it kind of takes away from some of what makes wrestling great, because you're supposed to be able to suspend your disbelief. But now I'm asking, now I'm being asked to suspend my disbelief to the point where it's like, okay, so this guy who is not trained to be a wrestler is going to take a guy who is a former WWE Universal Champion to the limit, to the point where he has to be saved.
Right.
And it's just kind of like, come on. Come on. That's asking me. That's asking a lot for me.
It is asking a lot.
Don't get me wrong. Great match, But why do we accept this? And it's like, it's okay.
By all accounts, Rey Mysterio should have never won the World Heavyweight Championship.
No, because he was a trained wrestler, and he had
going up against somebody that was, you know, much bigger.
Of course, but you can make the same argument for everybody. Daniel Bryan, you can Taz winning the ECW. I mean, that's what makes it a performance. But I'm just saying, at least those guys were trained, paid their dues, you know, and full-time wrestlers. Yeah. Shane's never had to be a full-time wrestler.
Right, you're right.
That's not to take away from the performance.
I get what you're saying, and to an extent, I agree with you. I think that's the WWE way, though. I mean, yes, you are to suspend disbelief, because we're going to throw in, you know, we're going to throw Shane in because he's a daredevil. I mean, we've heard the stories and all that good stuff. So
yeah, but now he's not like the hip teen. He's not about like the anti-establishment anymore. He's just like the old guy that has kids and like just trying to do the Goldberg thing, but on a much more hardcore level, where he's putting his body on the line.
Yeah, I agree.
But I'm asking as a WWE fan. It's just as a fan, not like a media pundit or anything, but just as a fan. Don't you think we should be asking for more from them?
In other words, let's not put Shane out there, and let's put somebody else out there.
Let's not welcome it. Let's not cheer it. Because, I mean, he gets a big pop. And don't get me wrong. I understand that he's very popular.
And see, I think that's kind of the answer to the question. He's the one that gets the reaction.
So why don't we ever put Stephanie in a match if she's, like, the biggest heel?
She has been in matches.
I know, but lately.
Well, not lately. She's been off TV.
I understand. And that's why I'm saying
I'm thankful.
But see,
I don't want to see her on TV, much less in a match.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. It should go both ways. It's like I shouldn't want to have to see Shane.
No, I get what you're saying. Yes,
like
yes,
you
yes.
shouldn't have to put Shane McMahon in the main event to sell a pay per view.
You got a pretty good roster there on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, utilize it.
Yeah.
I was like, why is AJ Styles get thrown into this weird three-way match all of a sudden? You know?
That
so
I didn't
many
agree
issues.
With either. Yeah, that was the other thing.
Oh, anyways, let's go ahead and finish this up about Sami Zayn, and we can run to the rest of the card.
Well, yeah, let's do that. So Sami Zayn pulls Kevin Owens just before Shane McMahon makes that huge dive. And then Sami Zayn pulls Kevin Owens over to where he can make the pin on Shane McMahon. Throws Mike Chioda over there, counts the three so they can get the win. So fast forward to SmackDown Live, and Sami Zayn comes out and basically says, look, I've been here, you know, I've cared about what the fans thought, cared about what everybody thinks, and it's gotten me mediocrity. Meanwhile, Kevin Owens has been Intercontinental Champion, you know, United States Champion, Universal Champion.
Which is great, because the fans even brought that up themselves.
Right, and so Sami Zayn said, you know, now it's, you know, I'm going to do things for me, which, okay, I get that. That's fine. And now you've got Kevin Owens has a new best friend. By the way, it was funny when you heard the Sami Zayn music, first thing you said was you were hoping Chris Jericho would come out.
Which would have been hilarious,
That would have been hilarious, so... But, yeah, I mean, and yes, we know the history. You know, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens going all the way, you know, the 15, 16 years on the independent scene in PWG and Ring of Honor and you know, El Generico and Kevin Steen and all sorts. So, yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's kind of funny. And I thought for a second, at first I was thinking, can Sami Zayn play a heel? And more importantly, has Sami Zayn ever been a heel? I don't know. Not as obviously not as Sami Zayn, but I don't even know if El Generico was ever a heel.
Well, the first thing they're going to have to do is change that music. It was so weird to like try to boo this super upbeat music. Like you instantly want to just kind of move with it, and you're supposed to hate this guy.
Yeah. So they got to change the music. But after seeing him in the ring, you know, explaining his actions, there's kind of a smarminess to him that I think might actually work. We'll see. Time will tell. We'll see if the fans accept him as a heel. You know, they accept Kevin Owens. That goes without saying. We'll see if he gets the rub off of we'll see if Sami Zayn will get the rub off of Kevin Owens. The rest of the card, it went pretty much what we expected. It was Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin got the win on the pre-show. And then you turn right around SmackDown Live. They win the Fatal 4-Way. So now they have the shot at the SmackDown Live Tag Team Championships, which are now being held by the Usos. Usos beat the New Day in not only the first tag team title match in Hell in a Cell, and I really think this was the first tag team match, period, inside Hell in a Cell. And they brought it.
I don't know if it was the first one. I thought I read that it's like maybe one of like four or something like that.
It may be.
But it doesn't matter, though. That was the match of the night. Just the creativity.
Yes.
To go in, considering it is the PG era.
Yes.
And to make it so vicious and so brutal. I felt bad for everybody else who had to follow that match because I was surprised that we didn't see Kofi in it, honestly. But just amazing work by everybody in that match.
The kendo sticks alone.
Yes.
That would have made Sandman proud. You know, I mean, there were so many kendo sticks used in that match. You know, I think Sandman and Topic Dreamer would have just loved that. So the spot where they pin one of the Usos in one of the corners and kind of lock him in using the kendo sticks.
That was smart.
Cool. That was cool. The trombones.
The two
we
trombones.
Saw Francesca 3,000, 4,000, and 5,000, you know, and you know, whacking them with the trombone. The gong. That was fantastic.
It was the perfect mix of like comedy and brutality.
I want to see ACH with a gong in one of his matches. Because that would work perfectly for him. Being the big anime fan he is. So anyway, congratulations, Usos. Now the 5-time SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Randy Orton, you were right. Randy Orton beat Rusev.
But before you jump into the Randy Orton thing, isn't it amazing like how well those two tag teams have done, considering that they've been playing hot potato with the tag team title?
Yes.
Like, it's still such a relevant, like, it's still a match I look forward to because it doesn't matter. I feel it doesn't matter who has the titles at this point.
Well, as I said, looks like they're going to give it a little bit of a breather.
For two weeks?
With Benjamin and Gable getting a shot at the titles. We'll see what happens. I mean, as far as I know, SmackDown doesn't have another pay-per-view until Survivor Series. So, you know, we'll see how long that lasts. Baron Corbin. Now, this was what we were talking about. So it was going to be Baron Corbin, AJ Styles. AJ Styles defending the U.S. Championship. And then during the pre-show, Ty Dillinger decides to go into Daniel Bryan's office, says something to the effect of, I should be in this match. Daniel Bryan says, you're right, you should. You're in the match.
So how come more superstars don't take this route then? That's all it takes to get a high-profile match.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, it made no sense. It was just some random thing. Just because Ty Dillinger told Daniel Bryan.
You're right.
And
I'm an idiot. You should be in this match.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, now you just watered down a pretty decent rivalry. And I like Ty Dillinger, and I think he should have a one-on-one rivalry with Baron Corbin. But throwing him in there with AJ Styles and Baron Corbin, of course, Baron Corbin comes out the winner. He's now the United States champion.
Well, I see what they were trying to do and keep AJ Styles still strong.
Right.
Not letting him take the pin, but still, it was just kind of a really roundabout way to go about it real last minute. Or unless that was the whole plan the entire time, which it didn't seem like it would have been. But
so, SmackDown Live, AJ Styles gets his rematch, and gets beat. So Baron Corbin, still your United States champion. Natalya Charlotte Flair, we were wrong, but we were right. Well, and I was only half wrong or right. So Charlotte wins the match, but it was by disqualification, but because Natalya whacks her in the knee with the chair.
Yeah, which
so
I found a
Natalya
little,
retains.
I thought it was a little surprising because she already kind of have shown her dominance throughout the match. I felt that she was going to win clean,
well,
honestly.
And it didn't make sense.
Yeah, no, it didn't at all.
It was like just out of the blue, oh, I'm going to go grab a chair whack. You know, and it's like, no, that... Why? Yeah.
You could have got the win. Like, you could have got a legitimate win over her because you were already dominating the match.
And again, maybe it's just like with AJ and Baron Corbin. Maybe it was to keep the rivalry going and Natalya doesn't get a clean win and they can keep this rivalry with her and Charlotte Flair.
Are we done with the Rusev Orton talk?
Yes. Yeah,
you're like, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Congratulations, you know. Randy.
Yeah, okay. Randy Orton. You got that one right. And I kind of had a feeling, but, you know, I figured I'd pick Rusev just for the heck of it.
Oh, I know. It was just for grins.
Yeah. And then in the championship, Jinder Mahal, they finally eject the Singh brothers, and Jinder Mahal wins, gets a pretty clean win against Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. Can't hinder Jinder.
Yeah. Plus, you got the tour of India coming up in December. So,
like, when you found that out. Before the match,
you
kind of
knew. Yeah, you kind of
knew.
And it's a shame because, you know.
Why bring up Nakamura then? And like why put him into the middle of this feud? Like, I didn't think he was already WWE champion caliber. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I think he could be,
but he wasn't ready, like, for the casual WWE fan still.
Well, but, I mean, we could say that about a lot of, I mean, Bobby Roode, you know, who got. You got the win against Dolph Ziggler, by the way. Dolph Ziggler coming out to no music, which, okay, fine. You've been
it doesn't take you back.
You've been impersonating all these entrances for the last several weeks, and you decide to come out to no music, nothing, just kind of just walk out there. Whatever.
At least it makes you pay attention to him. We're talking about him more than we talked about him for like 8 months.
Well, we talked about him, but again, you know, I didn't think he was going to win. I figured Bobby Roode was going to win. Dolph Ziggler attacks him afterwards, so I guess we're going to see more of that rivalry.
Well, I mean, I like living in a world where Dolph Ziggler is being used in like a more prominent role.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's usually as on the losing end, just because he makes everybody look so good.
Yeah, I get. So anyway, that was Hell in a Cell. As I said, as far as I know, there's not another pay-per-view for SmackDown until they hit Houston for Survivor Series. So, all in all, it was a pretty good show.
Yeah, I mean, at least it was entertaining.
Yeah.
With a show like Hell in the Cell, it's really hard to keep the interest level up just because, you know, it's a car crash after a car crash after a car crash. There's only so many you can watch
right.
And be like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So
because I felt bad for Ziggler and Roode because they had to come out.
That was the buffer match.
Exactly.
I would have put Orton and Rusev as the buffer match.
Yeah, that would have been great because nobody really cared.
Yeah.
It's like, and you're trying to make Ziggler, like, you already knew the outcome of that match.
Right.
And like, you could kind of have, I didn't really expect Ziggler to jump Roode after this mm-hmm. match. So. If you're really trying to sell this new guy on the roster in Roode and this new persona for Ziggler, I figured that you would have put him, I understand it's in a prominent position on the card, but wouldn't have put them in that position just because you would know that everybody's already had all the energy drawn out from one match and saving it for the final one.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing, and I don't know, I guess I'm a little disappointed. So, We finally see this vignette, two large men, they turn around, it happens to be Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
Still with that sheep mask, too.
Yeah, which made you think, okay, is the Wyatt family kind of like dividing and conquering? Is that what we're seeing? No. Apparently, they're going to call themselves, brace yourself, the Bludgeon Brothers.
And don't forget, they were holding, like, fake hammers. Like, look, yeah, obviously, made like out of plastic.
They bought Thor's hammer. They went to the Halloween store and bought Thor's hammers.
Yeah, you could see, like, the little plastic outline ridges on it. And it was just, like, it was just so...
The Bludgeon Brothers?
I felt so bad.
That's worse than Undisputed Era.
That is pretty bad. Well, because they already used the Basham Brothers. They already have the Hype Bros. they can only take somebody, brother. They already had the, what were they called? The Colognes. You can only have so many brother teams, I guess.
I thought for a second you were going to say Epileptic Caesars. I said, oh, no, that's Inspire Pro.
No, that's a great team name, though. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. But I was like, oh.
Maximus and Gatticus.
They couldn't think of, that's like almost... And the worst part is not only is the name.
What was the you remember Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about how he came up with Stone Cold?
Yeah,
and he got the list of possible names from WWE. What was it? Fang
May
Fang something.
It was like Icy McFree.
Yes,
and Fang. It's Poppins.
That's got to be the same people that gave them the Bludgeon Brothers.
It's a really bad name, and not only is it a bad name, it almost makes them on like ascension level bad. Yes. And not saying that they're bad in the ring. It's just like the whole gimmick. It's just like it's just already built to fail.
I mean,
like, how can you
just
get
call
excited?
Him Rowan.
Okay, no, don't do that. That's like the one caveat I have about WWE tag teams. And
just
I'll
don't
never,
use the lit. Don't use you know. Don't last give name
them,
and last name.
No, they just don't give them tag team names. I'll never forget. So this one time, okay, I'll take you back real quick here. I was working at a tanning salon, right? And one day, Paul London walks in when he was one half of the tag team champions.
Right.
So obviously,
with Brian Kendrick.
This is before I became a professional wrestler, so I was really just like a big fan, just interested in like, oh, right. Well, how did you guys come up? Are you guys going to get a team name? Was one of my questions for him. He's like, yeah, we've asked him about that, and they don't want to give us one. They just like Kendrick and London and Kendrick. And I was just like, oh, doesn't that mean that you guys are going to break up soon? He's like, yeah, that's what it usually means.
Well, that makes sense. That makes sense.
But, yeah, if you realize, most of the time, they're very slow to give teams names. I mean, Cesaro and Sheamus Sheamus and Cesaro for...
A long time. They called themselves the Bar, but WWE would acknowledge it for a while.
Exactly. So I mean, they've shown in the past that they're very comfortable by just going with the team name route. I've never been a big fan. I feel like if you're going to be a tag team, get yourself a name.
Yeah.
Get yourself some matching tights. I miss those days when teams actually looked like teams.
Yes,
I agree. Or if they're not going to match, you know, maybe the same cut in contrasting colors. I don't know, man. That's what I really liked about tag team wrestling. Like, you felt like those guys, I think that was part of the sell,
is that you
felt committed because those guys were committed to each other. So, you know, if Ricky got hurt, you expected Robert to jump in and save him because they're a team.
Yes,
and they look like a team.
That's right.
And you can just tell, like, oh, they just sell it. You know, they hang out. And obviously, they sold it back in the day.
They're the Rock and Roll Express. You always saw Bobby and Stan together at the Midnight Express.
Yeah.
Hawk and Animal.
Yeah. So it's just like, you know, one of the things is that they always dressed very similar.
Yes.
And I kind of miss that in the days of our current tag teams. That's why I think the New Day looks so great.
Yes.
They have, not only do they have matching costumes, but they have them in multitude of colors.
That's right. That's right. They're a tag team. Gee whiz.
The Usos, you know. They look good.
Anderson and Gallows.
Yeah. I mean, I wish they would have a name besides Anderson and Gallows or besides the club. But other than that, I think. What do they call them? They've been calling them something else, haven't they, recently?
Well, they refer to themselves as Good Brothers, but I got a feeling that's using an insider term.
No, I don't know about that. It's not something from the WWE market machine.
Well, Anderson Gallows, I think. Well, and I forget, we're talking WWE Universe, because I would say calling them anything other than Anderson and Gallows or The Club, it just seems, you know, because they will always and forever be Bullet Club to me.
Yeah, but you can't put that on a WWE shirt.
No,
so
you can't.
You have to,
otherwise,
and Balor Club is already taken.
That's
so.
Right. That's right. You know, so anyway. All right, well, Bludgeon Brothers.
Get excited, right?
Oh, boy. Yeah. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll go through the events of Monday Night Raw, including the reunion. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn 104.9 AM 1260, streaming worldwide at hornfm.com and the Horn Austin app.
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
We are back, and we are stronger than ever. We're going to do what we do best, which is destroy everything in our path. Walk over our enemies, whether it's three guys, four guys, five guys, six guys, whatever, whatever.
What he's trying to say is, we'll take on the whole world if we have to. And if you want to step up, you need to know this. We are the three workhorses that run this business now.
And you can believe that.
Yeah, you can believe that. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myrick, Justin Smash Simmons. So I was only a week off. That's all.
Well, I think everybody else is definitely more excited about this than I am. I feel it's kind of a waste of the Shield in general, like to have them used in such a non-WrestleMania type moment.
Well, I get what they're doing though. I mean, let's look at it first. I mean, you heard the pop when that happened at the beginning of the show. Miz TV, you got Sheamus and Cesaro getting their Mizzies, and Curtis Axel's in there.
I know.
And then Roman Reigns walks up there. By the way, that's probably the first time in at least 2 years he's gotten more cheers than boos. And, you know, because Miz made a mention of the rumors of the Shield, and Roman makes that, you know, rumors. Who said anything about rumors? And then here comes Dean Ambrose, and then here comes Seth Rollins, and they approach the ring, Shield style, beat up everybody. The triple powerbomb to Miz, the fist bump. Come on.
Not working for me. No.
Okay. Well, it was working for me. I was enjoying it.
I know. And it's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you're allowed to enjoy it. The problem is that everybody was waiting to enjoy this moment, and they gave it to us now instead. And they have made us wait. There have been more opportunistic times to have brought them back together.
Yeah.
And they decide to hold off. And at this point, I felt that they could have just held off a little longer and brought them back together for a more marquee event or storyline, something dealing with Royal Rumble or, again, WrestleMania, just because, like you mentioned before, you heard the pop.
Yeah.
You're only going to get that pop once. You're not going to get that pop again.
I get that. Well,
you'll get it for a few weeks.
Well, and I wonder if it has something to do with ratings. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's... And I haven't kept up with the whole ratings thing. I don't know if Raw is struggling or if they're doing okay, you know.
Well, it's NFL season, so of course they're struggling.
Yeah, not only you have Monday Night Football, but on Monday night, it was at halftime, they premiered the new Star Wars trailer.
Oh, yeah, so nobody was
so that was it. Was in fact, that was it was right around the segment of Bray Wyatt and, quote, Sister Abigail, end quote, which that was just... I mean, it was basically Bray Wyatt in a veil with bad lighting.
See, that's his alter ego, his Sister Abigail?
Maybe it is.
I mean, I'm okay
maybe
with that.
Finn Balor has the demon.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt's is Sister Abigail.
I mean, I'm cool with that as long as it's just, like, done well.
Well, see, that's
I'm not sure what that will actually mean. I guess not cheesy is what I'm looking for.
See, it was kind of cheesy to start.
Well,
I don't know.
The whole premise is kind of cheesy.
Again, it's Bray Wyatt, and I just can't buy it.
But, okay, so how come let me ask you this. So why is it cheesy for Bray Wyatt, but it's cool for Finn Balor?
He wins.
Is that the defining factor of the whole reason of the coolness here?
It's 'cause good,
he wins?
It's a good portion of it. And the other thing is, you know,
I just thought it's because, you know, he was, Finn's an attractive-looking guy that he was just going to get away with whatever gimmick they gave him.
Well, and I think...
I guess you could say that about Fandango and Ty Dillinger. Right. It doesn't always necessitate success.
Finn Balor's got a little more pizzazz to him. To me, I think, I don't know. It's just, it's different. I don't know how to tell you, but it's different for me. So anyway, so the Shield reunites. They will get Miz, Cesaro, Sheamus, and Braun Strowman, who apparently felt the wrath of the Shield. So now he's wanting in. So they'll get those four at TLC coming up in a few weeks.
See, but say that again to yourself. They're going to get them at TLC.
Right. I get it.
Not even Survivor Series. TLC.
Well, it's because that's the next one. But you got to imagine there's going to be some sort of Shield match at Survivor Series.
Yes, but they'll all be on the same team. So there's going to be, like, what, another turn at some point?
Well, it'll be a 5-on-5. So we got to add a tag team, probably, or two singles. So it'll be the Shield plus
Matt Hardy.
Probably Matt Hardy.
Or whoever's available.
To go up against Braun and Miz and Axel and the Bar.
Is, what's his name, hurt?
Do we get Jason Jordan? I don't know.
No, I was asking, is Bo Dallas hurt?
They held him out this week. I don't know if he's hurt, legit hurt, or storyline hurt.
Oh, okay.
So, but anyway, I mean, we'll see. The other big news of the night.
Was it the women's match and knowing that Emma's going to become like, essentially like.
Hey, congratulations, Emma. You get to get squashed by Asuka.
Yeah, basically. It's all like, so we had a match to determine who was going to get squashed by Asuka.
Right. I mean, did that make sense to you?
No, it didn't make any sense. It's okay. Just like, why don't we just schedule Emma against Asuka and just let them go out there and do their thing?
Yeah, I didn't get that. And you, plus you teased the whole thing with Bayley and Sasha, all for the sake of getting, I don't know. It just seemed silly. No, the other big news of the night, 1 week after he gets added to the 205 Live roster, Kalisto cashes in.
And Kalisto with that Lucha Libre, the fighting spirit.
Wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute.
Kalisto with a Salida del Sol. But Kalisto do it. Here's the cover.
We got a new champ.
I love Corey Graves. Yes, yes. I mean, you would have thought that his Steelers won the Super Bowl. It was that huge. I mean, that was hilarious. So yes, Kalisto defeats Enzo Amore. He is your new WWE Cruiserweight Champion.
You okay with that?
Sure.
Yeah, me too. But
Kalisto fits in the cruiserweight division.
I know, but it's just kind of like why isn't anybody else excited? I guess maybe because we hadn't seen
him. Because it's Kalisto.
True.
And we haven't seen a whole lot of him. Now I think that was one good way of trying to get the Enzo heel push going forward a little more, because people are still kind of cheering him because the the whole thing with realest champ of the room and his, all his other stuff.
He has catchphrases. People like catchphrases.
How you doing? Yeah, you know. So I think they were trying to get that kind of jump started, and I think that was the only way they could do it. So, I mean, you saw after the match, Cedric Alexander went in there, Mustafa Ali went in, celebrating with him. So, anyway, congratulations, Kalisto. That was a huge win for him, and...
Does Kalisto as champion make you more likely to tune into 205 Live to see what happens next?
No. That's the sad thing. But, well...
Because, I mean, this is the whole point behind this storyline, is to make you want to watch 205 Live.
Now, I understand. I would watch 205 Live. Well, it's not on yet. I would watch 205 Live, but we're watching soccer right now, so,
Thank you again.
You're welcome.
No. Your country appreciates that.
Yeah. Patriotism. Hey, USA. That's right.
We're still on the outside looking in right now. It's not good.
Some other news and notes from WWE. I don't know if you saw this. Renee Young, there was a video that WWE put out. We actually saw Mike and Maria Kanellis show up on SmackDown last week, first time in a while. And if you follow Mike and Maria on Twitter, Mike is Real Mike Bennett, of course, Mike Bennett, Real Mike Bennett on Twitter, and Maria at Maria L. Canellis on Twitter. You may know that Mike went public with his battle with addiction, specifically painkillers. And so WWE released this video where Renee Young sits down with Mike and Maria, and they talk about Mike's recovery and his battle with addiction. It's about a 9-minute, 30-second video. Really good video. I mean, it's one of those things where it's having worked in a kind of an ancillary role in the substance abuse treatment field, it's a story I've heard countless times. It was interesting to see it from the perspective of Mike and Maria. This was something that started, and he admitted this started when he had his knee injury a few years ago when he was still in Ring of Honor. And that was that. And I remember that injury because it put a lot of plans on hold for the Kingdom. They were, of course, making the tours of Japan and all that good stuff. And this started with that, and it kind of just developed like addictions do. And so, it's really neat. If you get a chance, go on YouTube, find that video. It's really, really cool. And of course, you know, they also talk about, you know, they had done the interview and then a few weeks later was when they announced that they're going to have their first child. So, and they incorporate that in the video. So really cool stuff. Check that out. It's on YouTube. You'll be able to find it. NXT is making some news. Let's start with this. NXT is coming to Austin. Well, not really Austin, Cedar Park. They're going to be at the HEB Center at Cedar Park on November the 16th, which is a Thursday. So, and of course, the tickets are available. They're actually kind of making their swing through Central Texas before they head down to Houston. So they're in Austin on the 16th. They're in San Antonio on November 17th, which, by the way, guess who else is in San Antonio on November 17th? Ring of Honor. So you've got NXT and Ring of Honor putting on events in San Antonio on the same night.
Ooh, good place to be a professional wrestling fan that night, that's for
no
sure.
No kidding.
Which show do you go to?
Oh, man.
I mean, no offense. You know ROH comes back to San Antonio, but NXT, it's like they don't leave often.
And that's the thing. It's, you know, yeah. You know, also, you've got the NXT roster complete with none other than Adam Cole. Adam Cole, baby! Along with Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, the Undisputed Era.
I still hate that name.
I know. It's silly. But on the other hand, you got Cody Rhodes, the Ring of Honor world champion. You got to believe he's going to be making a pass through. It's Texas. Come on. So Cody, the Bullet Club, the Young Bucks. You know, I mean, where do you go? I mean, it's kind of like, oh, boy, you know, what can you do? So the sad thing is that's the first week of the high school football playoffs. So in all likelihood, I'll make neither. So, you know, because I'll be wherever Lake Travis is for the bye district. So we'll see. But it should be a lot of fun. Both shows should be fantastic. We mentioned.
You have any idea when we'll know the cards for the NXT show?
I haven't. I'm sure we'll see something soon. I gotta imagine we'll see something because of course they're working up towards NXT Takeover in Houston, which will happen the night before Survivor Series, which, by the way, we do know what's going to happen at NXT TakeOver in Houston. War Games.
Yeah.
So
crazy,
we are, yes. You know, we had the news a couple weeks ago about WWE bringing back the Starrcade brand for a house show in North Carolina, in Greensboro.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Basically the birthplace of Starrcade. Now we're bringing back War Games, you know, another staple of the NWA and Jim Crockett Promotions. So, and it will be the two rings, you know, double cage. format, just like Dusty Rhodes designed it.
Just like back in the day, right?
Yes. And I think they've already announced who's going to be in that match. That will be, you will see it on a future episode of NXT, so I won't spoil it here. But you can probably guess that will be involved somehow. So a couple other notes. Impact Wrestling sent out a press release. They have now entered the over-the-top streaming market with the Global Wrestling Network. This is going to be a multi-platform digital service. Right now it's available on iOS and Android, as well as globalwrestlingnetwork.com. It is coming soon to Roku, Xbox, Amazon Fire TV, and smart TVs. The price point right now is $7.99 a month, and you get a 30-day free trial. You get access to the extensive Impact Wrestling library. Yes, I'm reading directly from the press release. Every classic pay-per-view, groundbreaking original series, reality shows, documentaries, over 1,000 hours of original programming. They've got events and cards from international promotions and their partners. Remember, they are aligned with not only Pro Wrestling NOAH in Japan, but the Crash and AAA in Mexico. The ability to purchase premium live pay-per-view events. So you got to imagine that'll be a streaming a way to stream, say, Bound for Glory, which is coming up in November. I actually took a look at it. It's got a lot of good stuff on it. It's got some of the all the classic shows going all the way back to the era of the weekly pay-per-view for NWA TNA, all the way through the birth of TNA Impact and all the way up. And I think what they're going to do is actually Impact Wrestling, that is now on Pop TV, I think it will debut on the service. I think each episode will be 10 days after it's aired on Pop. So check it out. It's not bad. It's interesting. Interesting to see, you know, see some of those older cards. So that's
there were some good ones back in the day.
There were. Oh, there's some, you know, and you know, you get to see AJ Styles as NWA World Champion. Get to see Bobby Roode as part of Team Canada with Eric Young and Petey Williams. America's Most Wanted. Yeah. Cowboy James Storm and Wildcat Chris Harris, one of the best tag teams they ever had.
No way, man. The Motor City Machine Guns.
Motor City Machine Guns, that's right. They had Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian before they were the Addiction. So anyway, check that out. Tommy Dreamer, speaking of streaming, Tommy Dreamer made an announcement that House of Hardcore will now stream their events on Twitch. And this will start with their event November 18th in Philadelphia. So you'll now get to see House of Hardcore on Twitch. So now I know of House of Hardcore, AAA, and Wrestle Circus so far, and I think Sabotage is now streaming on Twitch. So
okay, that's cool.
Lot of different ways to get your wrestling content. That's for sure. And one other note, congratulations, Will Ospreay. He defeated Kushida this past weekend, and he is now your new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Wow.
So the Aerial Assassin adds some gold.
Man, Kushida's been on a losing streak.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's happening in the world of wrestling. When we come back from this timeout, we'll let you know what's happening around here as far as independent wrestling goes. You're listening to Sports Guys Talking Wrestling on the Horn. Talking about Starrcade and War Games makes you feel like Saturday night, 6:05 p.m. Eastern, TBS, NWA World Championship Wrestling. Doesn't that sound just good?
I was going to say.
That's just that puts the hair on the back of my neck on end. That's beautiful. Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Meyer, Justin Smash Simmons.
I think I'm more familiar with the WCW Power Hour.
Yeah.
That was more like what I would watch. I used to watch a lot of the Power Hour. And
yeah.
What was it called, though? They came live from the... I wanted to say Impact Zone, but what did they call it?
Yeah, but it was Universal Studios. No, it was Disney MGM Studios.
Yeah, but I forgot what the name of the arena was. I'm sorry.
I don't remember.
But
Well, now there was WCW Saturday Night, which came from Center Stage in Atlanta.
That I used to watch.
Ring
that
of Honor
too.
Just did TV tapings there. I think, in fact, that the TV taping, it's the episodes that are wrapping up right now on Ring of Honor Television every Saturday night, 11:05 on CBS Austin. In fact, they had the Honor Rumble a couple weeks ago, and it was 20 men, and number 20 was none other than Glacier from WCW. So that there you go. But I know what you're talking about, and that was always good. So speaking of events, we've got several that are happening around the area. We will start Friday night. Here in Austin, Sabotage Wrestling putting on She's On It. It will be at Come and Take It Live, which is at 2015 East Riverside Drive, Building Number 4. Doors open at 6:30. You can get your tickets at www.sabotagetexas.com. Among those scheduled to appear: Thunder Rosa, Delilah Doom, Hi-On, Alley Cat, Leva Bates. I wonder who Leva is going to cosplay as for Sabotage.
Mickey
I also know
James.
Could be. I also know that they've got some guys on it as well. I know Extra Talented are going to be there, the current Wrestle Circus Big Top Tag Team Champions. I know Jordan Lennox is going to be there. So it should be a fantastic event. That's Sabotage Wrestling, She's On It, Friday night, 6:30 p.m. at Come and Take It Live on East Riverside Drive.
And not just any Friday night. Come on, Stu. Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th. That's right. Not to mention the night before Texas OU. By the way, it is currently 9:03 p.m. and OU still sucks.
Yes, and so does the United States men's national soccer team, because they couldn't qualify for the World Cup.
You knew that
it's going to be a great show on Sunday,
yes,
just letting you all know.
NAWA has Cease and Desist coming up Saturday. It's a double show. They've got two shows. They're going to be at Waxahachie Global High in Waxahachie. The first show, bell time is 3 p.m. Second show, bell time 7 p.m. Among those scheduled to appear, Chavo Guerrero Jr., Taya Valkyrie, VOW, otherwise known as Crimson, and Godzilla Jax Dane. That should be a huge event. I think Moose is going to be there as well. So that's NAWA at Waxahachie Global High in Waxahachie, bell time 3 p.m. and 7 p.m., two events that night. Main Event Pro Wrestling has Fight Forever Saturday at the Henderson Civic Center in Henderson up in Northeast Texas, my neck of the woods. Bell time 6 p.m. You got Big Daddy Yum Yum, Vordell Walker, and Bam Bam Malone scheduled to appear. Good to see Bam Bam back at it. Hurricane Pro, Back to Business, Saturday at the Beaumont Event Center in Beaumont, bell time 7 p.m. Terrell Tempo scheduled to appear, as well as the Latin Heartthrob Gino and Mysterious Q. That's Hurricane Pro in Beaumont Saturday. And then Branded Outlaw Wrestling, Hardcore Horror, Saturday night at Hooligan's Bar and Grill in Live Oak, right outside San Antonio, bell time 7:30 p.m. Their main event, Scott Summers, we'll take on Randy Wayne, the outlaw Randy Wayne, in a steel cage. There might be a drop or two of bloodshed on that one. This is BOW.
I mean,
they're not afraid.
No, I know. It's going to be a good fight.
That's going to be huge.
Those guys are going to beat the hell out of each other.
Yeah, they are. I know JC Bravo is going to be there and a few others. So BOW Saturday night at Hooligan's in Live Oak. So, Justin, the throw-in, 9 a.m. Sunday on the horn.
We're going to have stuff to talk about.
I was going to say, it's going to be a slow day for you guys, right?
Just a tad. My gosh. I cannot believe what I have just seen.
I know.
It is embarrassing on so many levels.
Well,
But you should follow the throw-in Twitter right now, though. It's That's getting right. crunk on there.
I'm sure. I'm sure. If you're a soccer fan, you do need to follow. It's at the throw-in, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
At throw-in ATX.
At the throw-in ATX on yes. Twitter. And join them Sundays, 9 a.m. on the horn. Friday night, the Battle of the Lakes. Westlake, Lake Travis.
Westlake even have a chance?
Look. Lake Travis's run defense has been a little suspect lately, and Westlake has probably one of the best running backs in the state in Nakia Watson.
I know. He's legit.
So I think, yeah, there's always a chance.
Well, I guess if Trinidad and Tobago can beat the United States, anybody has a chance. Where's the game at?
It will be at Chaparral Stadium.
Oh, and they can. I've seen that place like for big time games, like when they play Bowie, and Bowie was actually, you know, going to beat them, and they have beat them before. But I remember that atmosphere. And it was like when that stadium is filled up, it's a really great atmosphere.
You can imagine what it's like for Westlake and Lake Travis. And by the way, I will not be on the sideline. I'll be in the booth. It'll be me and Mark doing call because Bucky got Bolt, one half of Bucky and Aaron. He'll be in Dallas for the Horns coverage of Texas OU this weekend.
Wow,
so
they're pulling up all the stops for the OU coverage.
So, yeah, so I get to help Mark
nice.
Call the game. So
You should have it's a good match too. So you should have some
real
fun.
Well, it's Westlake Lake Travis. That's always a good game. So join us 7:15 with pregame, 7:30 kickoff on 104.9 The Horn. And as we mentioned, Texas OU weekend, and you'll get to hear all the coverage on The Horn. Bucky and Aaron will be up in Dallas at the Get Teed Off at OU Golf Tournament, so you can catch them there, as well as Trey and BK and Chad and Kevin will both be at the Iron Cactus in Dallas. And then Saturday, 2:30 kick. That means 10 a.m. pregame from the fairgrounds. Chad Hastings, Bucky Godbolt, the whole cast of characters will be up there. And then Craig Way, Roger Wallace, Quan Cosby with the call. Texas OU, 2:30 kick. Turn down the TV sound, as we always say, turn up the radio on 104.9 The Horn. Justin Smash Simmons on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch at The Smash Simmons. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Stu Myrick. That's StewMyrick. You can follow the show on Twitter at SGTWATX. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. We are proud to be the official broadcast partner of the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, and we are proud to be part of the great lineup of shows that you can hear on The Horn, 104.9 AM 1260. Catch us Wednesday nights, 9 p.m., and you can catch us anytime on demand at hornfm.com under the on-air tab or on your favorite podcast platform. For Justin, I'm Stu. Thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time, and we will see you at the matches.